US. We now present The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program focused on the spirituality of Louisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to all of our listeners today. We want to wish you a most happy and blessed Solemnity of the Assumption today, August 15th, as we honor our Blessed Mother. And in a special way for those of us who are following, trying to live the life of the divine will, as we learned from Louisa Picaretta, this is our feast day. So God has revealed this to Louisa, that this is the day he would like to for us to celebrate and to honor his most holy will as the greatest gift he's given us, the gift of restoring the kingdom of God's will to earth as it reigns in heaven. So just to remind you, too, if you have any questions, you can email them to us at divinewillquestions@gmail.com. Or if you would like to hear any of the broadcasts of the past, including today, you can find those in archive on divinewilltallahassee.com, divinewilltallahassee.com. You can find the past broadcasts of Radio Maria on the will of God. Well, let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, bless you this day for the great gift of our Blessed Mother, for the gift of assuming her body and soul into heaven, she who is the fullness of grace, enters heaven as one of your creatures, as a human person, and yet filled with the divine life, your own divine will reigning in every moment, in every aspect of her life. From her immaculate conception until her entry into heaven and now for all eternity. Father, we just want to bless you and thank you again and ask you to help us, help all souls and all of creation to come to know more the great gift you've given her so that we can see how much you want to give it to us through Mary, our mother, and the queen of the divine will. And how much, Lord, you want us to know you, to love you, and to possess the kingdom, the reign of your divine will, which Jesus prayed for so earnestly in the prayer that he taught his disciples and us. So we ask you, divine will, now to come and possess us, take over our lives. As we immerse ourselves in the humanity of Jesus, we find that divine will reigning there. May it reign in our thoughts and in our words, in our listening, in our breathing, in our heartbeats, in every motion of our bodies. May the divine will be the power, the wisdom, and the love in everything that we do to give glory to the Most Holy Trinity on behalf of all creation, united with our Blessed Mother in her acts of glorifying God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we ask you, Blessed Mother, intercede for us, plead for us the grace, the fullness of grace, which is the will of God, to live always in us, to act in everything we do. So we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us all, you angels and saints. Pray for us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, last week we began a reflection on this great feast day in preparation for it. Today we'd like to continue that meditation with you on what is this great solemnity all about. It seems so perhaps remote from us, so exalted, sublime a feast that Mary, who is the sinless Virgin Mother of God, is taken up into heaven, body and soul, that her body was never subject to decay. Well, that's true of Mary, but it's not true of us. And yet we can thank God for the gift of Mary's incorruptibility and for her assumption into heaven by the power of God. But what we'd really like to look at today and hopefully help us to understand better is, what does this have to do with us? After all, we can honor Mary and glorify God because of her, but at the same time, it needs to touch our lives and help us in our lives to live a better union with Christ, to be a greater member of the church, a better member of the church, and to be more a part of this great kingdom of God. So we'd like to ask again our Blessed Mother's help and Mary, who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, to invoke the Holy Spirit upon us, that she would touch our minds, our intellects, our memories, our wills, that they might be transformed all into the will of God. Every aspect of our souls and our bodies, like hers, would be perfectly in harmony and unity, in peace with the divine will, with the will of God in all that we do. So this morning in our office of readings, those of us who do the Liturgy of the Hours, we read from, the first reading was from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. I just want to read a couple of phrases from that because they struck me as so helpful for us in understanding not just the Feast of the Assumption, but this gift of the divine will. And St. Paul prays there as we invoke his intercession as well for us. He prays that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, might enlighten your innermost vision, that you may know the great hope to which he has called you and the wealth of his glorious heritage to be distributed among the members of the church and the immeasurable scope of his power in us who believe. He's praying there for, I think, an inner kind of vision, an insight, a way to know, to love better, love more, and possess this hope that God has called us to. Well, it seems to me that that's really a great word for today, is this, the notion of hope, that where Mary and Jesus, of course, have gone, we hope to follow. That's our great desire, is, of course, to be with God forever in heaven. But St. Paul, throughout his letters, and a little bit later in the second chapter of the Ephesians, letter to the Ephesians, he keeps reminding us that that hope is not just for the future. It's not just for something that happens when we die, and with God's help and grace, we make it to heaven. But St. Paul really reiterates many times that that hope is something very much present and alive and active in our day-to-day lives here. And so he says a little bit later, he says, both with you and in Christ Jesus, he raised us up. That is, God raised us up and gave us a place in the heavens. It's already done. In other words, we have our place in the heavens. At another point, he would say, you're already seated with Christ in the heavens. And he says, God gave us this place so that in the ages to come, he might display the great wealth of his favor, manifested by his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So this hope is certainly going to be finally revealed in heaven. But he says it's already given to us. It's already something present. It's a living reality. And so he says it's owing to this favor that salvation is already yours through faith. I think that's an amazing thought that we need to dwell on, that this hope is already ours through faith. And it's not just something we wait for, it's something we live every day of our lives. And then St. Paul says, this is not your own doing, it's God's gift. It's not a reward for anything you've accomplished, so let no one pride himself on it. For we are truly the handiwork of God, created in Christ Jesus, to lead the life of good deeds, which God prepared for us in advance that we might walk in them. So God has already planned from all eternity this salvation for each one of us. So it's simply ours to accept it, to receive it, to embrace it, rejoice, give thanks, and to do the best that we can with our own limited time here on earth to make that reality, that salvation, that hope, a daily reality, not only for ourselves, but then for others as well. It seems to me that's what we celebrate with Mary today, is she made it, she's reached her goal, she's there, but she's also the one through whom God has given us as a mother that we can all enter heaven. And that the great gift of the divine will is that when we live in God's will, we are living the life of heaven here on earth. Now, granted, we're not having the beatific vision, at least I'm not. We're not experiencing that great sublime joy of heaven. But at the same time, we can live what is the very essence of heaven. Those are kind of perhaps the things that we'll enjoy there for all eternity. But here on earth, we can still enjoy a unity with God, with the Most Holy Trinity through Christ and His Mother. That is, in many ways, what is the essence of heaven, which is to have our own human will so united, fused with God's will, that we're living the life of God Himself by participation, by grace, and not by nature, but by the great gift of being created in the image and likeness of God. So Mother Mary is the one who kind of has preceded us as a creature. And remember, that's always the distinction. Jesus is Son of God. He is a human, has a human dimension and a divine. But Mary is all creature. She's one of us. And as God has prepared her from all eternity, in many ways, you know, we could say He has prepared us as well from all eternity. Last week we spoke a little bit about how this fiat of sanctification is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And Mary, as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, was so intimately united to the Holy Spirit in her own Immaculate Conception, in the Annunciation, when the Holy Spirit rested upon her, overshadowed her, and she conceived the life of the Son of God. At Pentecost again, and now at the Assumption, when she's taken up into heaven, this work of the Holy Spirit is completed in Mary. And it's the work that God had destined for her from all eternity, but it's always the work of the Spirit of God. In the first Eucharistic prayer, the fourth Eucharistic prayer, we have the prayer that says that God sent the Holy Spirit from you, Father, as His first gift to those who believe, to complete His work on earth and bring us the fullness of grace. Two wonderful thoughts, that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to complete the work of Jesus, the work of redemption, but it's also the work of the Holy Spirit to bring each one of us and all of us together that fullness of grace. Fullness of grace that resided in Mary through her Immaculate Conception. But now the same fullness of grace which is given to us is ours, where God invites us to receive it and to grow in it. This is for us who are not conceived immaculately. We're all conceived in original sin. For us, it's a journey and it's a process. It's something that happens over time. It doesn't happen overnight. And yet, it is the same gift, I believe, that God wanted us to share, wants us to share with His own Heavenly Mother. Now, as you've been, hopefully you've been reading and studying a bit and learning more each day about Luisa Picaretta and the great gift of the divine will, you've realized also that this is also the work of our Blessed Mother, that this is her mission, if you will, on earth today, is to bring her children into this kingdom, this reign, the will of God. And she says, in fact, she says, "You see, my children, the same infinite love of God that wanted to include me in the plan of redemption so that the eternal word would descend upon the earth now calls upon me again to entrust to me this trying assignment of utmost importance, forming upon earth the children of the kingdom of His will." And so, yes, she says, this is the kingdom of God's divine will, and with all my motherly love and care, I'm beginning to do this, and I'm preparing the way for you that will bring you into this happy kingdom. Those are some words that our Blessed Mother actually spoke to Luisa and asked Luisa to record for all of us. We call it the appeal of the Queen of Heaven, her call for all of us to join her in this wonderful life, the kingdom of God's will. So she says, "Do not worry about anything at all, my children." She says, "You and I will make sure that the divine will is done on earth as it is in heaven, just as Jesus wants. So just make me happy and I will bless you. Well, we know this is the great desire of Mary's heart, that we would all be with her in that kingdom of the divine will. And so today we're going to once again continue with some lessons from the Book of Heaven. Each one of these lessons today, we read, I believe, two or three of them last week. Each one of these is actually a diary entry written by Louisa on the day of this feast. And so for each one, there is a special message that God wants to give us through Louisa to help us understand better what the Feast of the Divine Will is all about in relationship to the Assumption of Mary. So we're going to continue now with, this is a reading from volume 18, and it's August 15th, 1925. This is not the beginning of that diary entry, but partway through it, the part that reflects and discusses the Great Feast of the Assumption. So Anne's now going to read this for us from August 15th, 1925, from Louisa's diary, The Book of Heaven.
The Feast of the Assumption should be called Feast of the Divine Will. I began to think of the feast of my celestial mama assumed into heaven, and my sweet Jesus, with a tender and moving tone, added, "My daughter, the true name of this feast should be Feast of the Divine Will." It was the human will that closed heaven, broke the bonds with its creator, made miseries and suffering enter the field, and put an end to the feast that the creature was to enjoy in heaven. Now this creature, queen of all, by doing the will of the Eternal One always and in everything, even more it can be said that her life was divine will alone, opened the heavens, bound herself to the Eternal One, and restored in heaven the feast with the creature. Every act she did in the supreme will was a feast that she started in heaven. It was sons that she formed to adorn this feast. It was melodies that she sent to delight the celestial Jerusalem. Therefore, the true cause of this feast is the eternal will operating and fulfilled in my celestial mama. It operated such prodigies in her as to astonish heaven and earth, chain the Eternal One with indissoluble bonds of love, and enrapture the Word, even from her womb. The very angels, enraptured, repeated among themselves, "From where comes so much glory, so much honor, such greatness and prodigies never seen before in this excelling creature? Yet she is coming from exile." Astonished, they recognized the will of their Creator as life operating in her, and trembling they said, "Holy, holy, holy, honor and glory to the will of our Sovereign Lord, and glory to Mary, thrice holy, she who let this supreme will operate."
Thank you, Anne. So there we have Louisa speaking of her own experience of reflecting on the Feast of the Divine Will, the Feast of the Assumption, it's both, as we celebrate it today. And she says, then her Blessed Mother, Mary, came to her, and she said, sweet Jesus, with a tender and moving tone, said to her, "My daughter, the true name of this feast should be the Feast of the Divine Will." For he says, it was a human will that closed heaven and broke the bonds with its creator, made miseries and suffering enter the field, and put an end to the feast that the creature was to enjoy in heaven. So it's the acts of the human will. Now we must make a little footnote here and say the human will itself is not bad, it's not evil, it's a great gift. God gave it to us so we could give it back to him. But it's the acts of the human will, those done by Adam and Eve and all the humanity after them, that closed heaven. So it's through these acts of the human will that heaven was no longer open to humanity to enter. And so she's saying now that Mary, the Queen of all, by doing the will of God always and everywhere, opened the heavens. Scripture says Eve, St. Paul would say, Eve closed heaven to all of her children, and Mary opened the gates of heaven for all of us. And so this is what she restored is the feast of the creature to be able to once again celebrate this great gift of the divine will. He says, in fact, every act that Mary did in the will of God was a feast that she started in heaven. It was sons that she formed to adorn this feast, melodies she sent to delight all of the celestial Jerusalem. So every act, we could say, is a feast in the divine will. Why? Because everything honors, glorifies, and celebrates the divine will in heaven. That's what heaven is, really. It's all of creation, the angels and saints glorifying God with his own will that they're now united with. So he's saying that Mary, by her acts in doing this on earth, began her own feasts in heaven. And such a greatness that all of the angels and saints could share in the great good and the banquet that she was forming in her acts, this great feast created for heaven. And so even the angels and saints are enraptured because they have never seen before a creature come from exile, that is from earth, in such splendor, in such beauty and honor and glory as Mary. Why? Not because simply she's a creature, but because she is a vessel full of grace, a vessel filled with the life of God, with the divine will reigning perfectly in her. The only creature that will ever be said about. We are given a gift to come to know and possess this great blessing of the divine will. But it's, you know, whether we'll ever be able to live it perfectly is doubtful. But because it is God's work and God's life operating in us, we can say that, yes, God can work anything perfectly in his creatures when they allow him to. And so Mary's gift is also our gift. And when Mary entered heaven, she opened heaven for all of us. Why? Because she embodied, in a sense, all of her children in her own humanity. So sometimes I think we can get maybe a little exalted in our honoring of Mary, which is not a bad thing, as long as we remember that she's one of us. She was perfect, it's true, and immaculate. But she enclosed all of us in her heart and keeps us under her mantle of protection. So Mary is there to represent us in heaven and to take us with her into heaven, not just when we die, but even here on earth as we try to live in the will of God. It seems to me one of the great qualities of the Christian soul that maybe we're called to on this feast is kind of a joy and a wonder at what God has done and is doing, will do in us, in his own creatures. I had the great pleasure of holding a six-month-old baby a few days ago, and her name was Sophia Maria, beautiful wisdom of God in this child. I've never seen a happier child, just full of life and always a smile playing on her face and full of wonder, not a self-conscious bone in her body. And I was thinking, what, you know, when Jesus says we have to become like children, that's a wonderful example of that kind of childlike wonder at creation, at what God has done for us, and at the wonder of his own infinite eternal being, the wonder of what he's done in Mary, who says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And so to have that kind of joy and wonder, I think is one of the things that hopefully we can grow that quality today in this feast and all the feasts of the church. Because what God has done for Mary, he's done for us. He's doing it for us every moment of our lives if we're open to receive that grace, that blessing of his goodness and his power and love. So it's not simply that we honor Mary, it's that we share with Mary, we participate with Mary in all that God has done for his creation, in a special way for humanity, beginning with Adam and Eve, and now through the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing us back, in a sense, a full circle, just as he kind of completed that circle of the Holy Spirit in Mary's life from her Immaculate Conception, working through her Annunciation, through the Pentecost, and then once again bringing her into heaven, all the work of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to complete this work on earth through His people, through His church. And so this is our mission and our vocation, that Mary has preceded us, and she had it first with Jesus. In anticipation, she was able to share in all of the glory and the blessings of redemption. But now she has completed the... procession of Mary, because Jesus came through her, is to help us then, through Mary, once again, to return, to make our rounds complete, to allow the work of sanctification to accomplish its purpose and its goal in our lives. And so, as we reflect for a few moments with a little music for meditation, just to reflect a bit on the wonder, the joy, the great gift that God is, all that He has done for you and for me and for all of us. Maybe to hear again the words of Psalm 8, that You have made man little less than a god. With glory and honor You crowned him. You gave him power over the works of Your hands and put all things under his feet. Volume 18, August 15th, 1925, which Valerie will continue to read.
So it is my will that was and is celebrated more than everything on the day of her assumption into heaven. It was my will alone that made my most holy mother ascend so high as to distinguish her among all. Everything else would have been as nothing had she not possessed the prodigy of my will. It was my will that gave her divine fecundity and made her mother of the Word. It was my will that made her see and embrace all creatures together, making of her the mother of all, and loving all with a love of divine maternity. Constituting her queen of all, it made her rule and dominate. On that day, my will received the first honors, the glory, and the abundant fruit of its work in creation. And the unending feast began for the glorification of its work in my beloved Mama. And even though heaven was opened by me, and many saints already possessed the celestial fatherland, when the celestial queen was assumed into heaven, we waited for her who had honored it so much and contained the true prodigy of the most holy will to make the first feast for the supreme volition, because she herself was the primary cause of it, having fulfilled the supreme will in everything. Oh, how the whole of heaven magnified, blessed, and praised the eternal will. Upon seeing this sublime queen, all surrounded by the eternal sun of the supreme will, enter the heavens into the midst of the celestial court, they saw her, all studded with the power of the supreme fiat, and saw that not one breath had been in her which did not have this fiat impressed in it. Astonished, all the celestial spirits looked at her and said, "Ascend higher, ascend higher. It is justice that she, who so much honored the supreme fiat, and through whom we find ourselves in the celestial fatherland, have the highest throne and be our queen. The greatest honor that my mother received was to see the divine will glorified in her."
Thank you, Valerie. So the greatest honor that Mary received was to see the divine will glorified in her. After all, only God is glorified. We do not really glorify Mary except for God operating in Mary. For a creature is not glorified. All creatures exist for the praise of God's glory. But in Mary, we see our hope, as St. Paul says. We have the vision in this great feast of the solemnity, so that we can know the hope to which God has called us and the wealth of our inheritance, an inheritance that we don't share as children only when our parents are gone or when we've gone, when we've died, but it's an inheritance that God wants us to have on earth, the inheritance of His holy will. And so to have the joy and the wonder, that childlike wonder of this great gift, I think is something we all need to pray for. How many acts in our lives, how many moments, how many hours and days are spent in fear and in anxiety and in worry about the things that we do not have or the things that we cannot accomplish, rather than to have this attitude of the child that God has already done everything. He's already accomplished it. He only is waiting for us to unite ourselves with what He has done and to cooperate with Him, reciprocate Him for all of this love that's been poured out upon the earth, upon humanity. And it seems to me the fiat of Mary, that wasn't just there when she said, "Let it be done to me according to your word," that Mary says her fiat was in every single moment, that if we have that fiat in our hearts and on our minds and on our lips, that we're simply surrendering at every moment our will to God's will. And then God can accomplish in us what His plan, His mission for us is in this world. So I would invite you today to, maybe if you have some time this day to reflect on the Assumption, is to reflect a bit on your mission, your vocation in this world, in this life, and how God is calling you to simply embrace what He has done, what He's already accomplished, to make that known, to make it loved, so that others can possess the great gift of God's will, what God has done for us. And in every one of our lives, it's going to be different. We're each unique in that call and in that mission. And yet, Mary is showing us that simply to embrace it, to accept it, to say, Fiat, Lord, in the trying moments of our lives. Mary says her mission is trying, too. It's trying because it's a challenge to bring humanity back into the kingdom of God. We know that's true of ourselves, and we know it's true of our brothers and sisters. So it's a great challenge, and yet I believe God says today, look, it's already accomplished. St. Paul says you're already seated in heaven. You're already with God in many ways. Yes, it's not complete. That will happen only when we die. But in many ways, that reality is going on now. And so while Mary carried Jesus in her womb and she gave her fiat at every moment, the Holy Spirit wants to help us do that too, because Jesus says, those who do the will of the Father, they are my mothers, my brothers and sisters. So we're all called to be that mother of Jesus, the one who gives him life, who conceives him and brings him to the world. So now we're going to continue with another passage. This one's from a little bit later in Louisa's life, again, dated the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th, 1928. And again, we're going to begin a couple of paragraphs into this passage, as Barbara's going to read now.
The Virgin, her insuperable glory, the sanctity of the divine will known in heaven. I was thinking about and accompanying the Sovereign Queen when she was assumed into heaven, and my sweet Jesus moving in my interior, as though singing the praises of His celestial mother, told me, my daughter, the glory of the Mama of Heaven is insuperable. No one else in the celestial regions possesses seas of graces, of light, seas of beauty and of sanctity, seas of power, of science and of love. And what is more, she possesses these seas within the endless sea of her Creator. The other inhabitants of the Blessed Fatherland possess at most some little rivulets, some little drops, some little fountains. She is the only one, because she lived life in the divine fiat, alone. The human volition never took place in her. Her life was all of divine will. And by virtue of it, she centralized all creatures within herself. And conceiving them in her maternal heart, and bilocating her son Jesus as many times to give him to each creature whom she had conceived within her virginal heart. That is why her maternity is extended to all. And all can boast and say, the mother of Jesus is my mother. And this mother is so sweet, lovable, and loving, gives her beloved son to each of us as a pledge of her maternal love. Only my will could give her this virtue of conceiving all creatures as her children and of multiplying her Jesus for as many children as she had.
Thank you, Barbara. So another wonderful just little reflection on how Mary reigns in heaven and what her great honor is, that she's the only one who has the great honor of having lived her life fully in the divine fiat. Jesus says the human volition never took place in her. That is, her human will had to be acting, of course, all the time. You're not human if you die. If your will is not acting, it's the source of everything we do, of our love, our acts. But what he's saying is that her human will never took an act in her life that was apart or separate from the will of God. In other words, that was something she would have desired or wanted that would have separated her from God. Her life was all divine will. And because of that, because the divine will was perfectly reigning in her, she contained all creatures in herself. Not because simply she was human, but because the divine will contains all creatures in itself. You see, the divine will is the source of everything that exists. The divine will is the very essence of God himself. And so she conceived all of us in her heart, and because she was able to do that, she was also able to give Jesus to each one of us. So as she conceived Jesus in her, and she had also all of us conceived in her, she could then bring us together through that common humanity. She could bring us together as we were woven together in her womb, in her heart, with Jesus. So now she has the great privilege and the great gift of being able to unite us once again to her Son and giving him to each of us as a pledge of her maternal love. Jesus says, only my will could give her this power. Mary did not have this power. It's only the divine will could conceive all creation creatures in herself as her children and then give Jesus to each one of them. That's the virtue, the operating power of the will of God that has that capacity operating in Mary, but also now operating in us to do the same. And so we'll conclude this passage as we continue.
Now in heaven, the height of the Sovereign Mother, possessing her seas, does nothing but raise highest waves of light, of sanctity, of love, etc., unloading them over the throne of the Supreme Being, who so not as to be surpassed by her love, having his own sea, more extensive and deeper, forms his own waves, higher, from beneath the seas of the Virgin Queen, and pours them over her. And she prepares more waves, and God prepares yet more, in such a way that the whole of heaven remains flooded by these waves of light, of beauty, of love, and the like, so much so that all take part in them and enjoy. And the blessed, in seeing that they cannot form these waves because they possess no seas, comprehend that if their mother and queen possesses all of this, it is because she formed her life and sanctity in the divine will. So through the Virgin, the saints know what sanctity of divine will means in the creature. And therefore they long for more creatures to bring these seas into the celestial fatherland, so as to see more waves being formed, enchanting, and of greater enjoyment for them. The earth does not yet know the sanctity of my will, and this is why I so much yearn to make it known. But it is well known to heaven because the Sovereign Queen is there, whom, by merely seeing her, becomes the revealer of the sanctity of my fiat. So by virtue of it, she was the portent of graces on earth for herself and for the whole human family. And she is the portent of glory in the celestial fatherland. Nor can any other creature be said to be similar to her.
So the seas of the divine will which Mary contained within herself, contains in her own life, in her own being, are so astounding that even the angels and the saints in heaven are enraptured when they look at her. And he says, the blessed seeing them, because they cannot form these ways, because they do not possess the seas of God's will in themselves. And we might say, is this what distinguishes Mary from all the rest of the saints in heaven? Well, yes. But is it also what distinguishes any soul who lives in the divine will from other souls? And this is a great mystery and, of course, a great prodigy and not something that any of us could pride ourselves on. But Jesus does make it clear that the soul that lives in the divine will lives on earth in a different capacity from those who don't, simply because the divine will is in them. And if one does not know this gift, the possession of the gift of the divine will, then one is not able to contain the seas of holiness, of light, of joy and beauty that exist in God. And so because Mary contains them, she says, Louise is saying here that everything in heaven really is enraptured by her, not because of her creatureliness, but because of the divine will reigning in her. And then Jesus says that still the earth does not yet know the sanctity of my will, but it is known in heaven. In fact, we could say that as it is known on earth, so earth will be transformed more and more into heaven. When Jesus prayed that the kingdom of the divine will come to earth as it reigns in heaven, it was not just an empty hope or an empty dream or promise. It was real. And so he knew that this kingdom, the reign of God's will, had to come gradually to dawn upon the earth. And certainly it was there perfectly in Mary as she lived on earth. But now he's asking that each one of us, in our own way and in our own life and our own time, that each one of us can make known this kingdom of the divine will. It says something astounding here, too, that just to look at Mary, he says, she reveals the sanctity of the fiat. Just to see Mary, to have the vision of Mary, is to know the great good of this way of life. And so by contemplating Mary, we're inspired, we're encouraged to live it more fully, more completely ourselves in our own lives. So we're not going to be Mary, we're not going to be immaculate as she was and is, but we're going to, through her inspiration and her encouragement, her intercession, we're going to fulfill our own role. We're going to complete, hopefully, and see God complete in us the mission, the vocation that he's given to us. He says Mary was a portent of graces on earth for herself and for the whole human family. But this, brothers and sisters, is what God asks of you and me too. Are we portents of grace on earth for ourselves and for the whole human family? And that means, do we see that through the will of God operating in us, through the gift of baptism, that all that God has done and wants to do for humanity, that he's done it for us and in us, in each one of us. And he wants that redemption and that sanctification not to be confined or be held only by us, but that through the gift of the divine will, we can make it known, loved, and possessed by many other souls. So Mary reigns in heaven, but she's still here with us. She's still helping us in many ways to come to understand much better what our own vocation, our own role is in this life. Remember, she contains all of us, and her glory encompasses all of our glory. And that's not because of her, she's a creature, but because the divine will is her glory. And if she has the divine will and the glory of the divine life in her, reigning in her, then there's only one divine glory, and that's what belongs to God. Therefore, she encompasses all of our glory as well, which is also the glory of God, the glory of God's will. Not by nature, but by that fullness of grace that she was given and that now God wants to give to us. So we have one more passage to read this morning. This is again from August 15th, the day of the Assumption, from the year 1938. And so Anne's going to now begin. This one does begin at the start of the diary entry from August 15th.
The Feast of Assumption is the most beautiful, the most sublime feast. It is the feast of the divine will operating in the heavenly queen. While my mind was swimming in the sea of the divine will, I stopped at the act in which my mother and queen was assumed into heaven. How many wonders, how many enrapturing surprises of love. And my sweet Jesus, as if he felt the need to speak about his celestial mother, all festive, told me, "My blessed daughter, today is the Feast of Assumption. This is the most beautiful, the most sublime, the greatest feast in which we remain glorified, loved, and honored the most. Heaven and earth are invested with an unusual joy never before felt. The angels and the saints feel as if invested with new joys and new happiness, and they all praise with new songs the sovereign queen, who in her empire rules over all, giving joy to all. Today is the Feast of Feasts, the unique one, the new one, which was never repeated again. Today, the Day of the Assumption, celebrated for the first time the divine will operating in the sovereign queen and lady. The marvels are enchanting in each of her smallest acts, even in her breathing, in her motion. Many of our divine lives can be seen flowing in her act as many kings, which more than bright suns, inundate, surround, and embellish her, making her so beautiful as to form the enchantment of the celestial regents. Do you think it's nothing that each one of her breaths, motions, works, and pains were filled with many of our divine lives? This is exactly the great prodigy of my will operating in the creature, to form a divine life for each time it could enter the motion and the acts of the creature. Then, since my fiat possesses the virtue of bilocation and repetition, doing again and again without ceasing everything she does, so the great lady feels these divine lives multiplied within herself, which do nothing other than further extend her seas of love, beauty, power, and infinite wisdom. You must know that the divine lives she possesses are so great and so many that upon entering heaven, they crowded the whole celestial region, and being impossible to contain them, they filled the whole creation as well. Therefore, there is no place where her seas of love and power do not flow, along with the many of our lives of which she is possessor and queen."
Thank you, Anne, and that is perhaps one of the most amazing passages ever written about Our Lady, certainly in the Book of Heaven, that this great prodigy of the divine will operating in the creature is to form divine lives for each time it acts. That is, for every time the divine will enters and unites with the motion and the acts of the creature. If you think of the gift of baptism, then we must always begin there, and perhaps we can continue this reflection on the sacrament of baptism next week. But the indwelling of the Most Holy Trinity is the primary, fundamental creed of our faith. It's the most important doctrine in many ways, because if without baptism and without that indwelling, we don't have divine life in us. We have human life. We have our soul is a vessel, a capacity for that divine life. But until baptism, it is not there. And so the divine life comes to live in us, to dwell in us through a mutual indwelling. We call it in this great sacrament of baptism, strengthened in confirmation, nourished in the Eucharist, the sacraments of initiation, and then, of course, also celebrated in all of the sacraments. But without that life, none of us could certainly hope to do anything that was divine. But as St. John of the Cross and many of the other saints of the Church have told us, that if it's God who lives in us and who acts in us, then what we do is no longer merely human, but it is also divine. And that means that our acts are the divine life forming its own life in what we do. It's a great mystery, but it's also very fundamental to understanding the walk of this Christian journey with Christ. And so what we're hearing over and over again here in the Book of Heaven is that this divine life that God is in himself, he not only wants to for us to imitate, but he wants it to operate in everything that we do. And of course, again, what we honor in Mary is the perfection of that operation. In us, it's certainly not going to feel very perfect. And yet what God does is always perfect. So if we're inviting, receiving, allowing God to do it in us, he's operating his own perfection whether we feel it or not. Again, this is not about what we, about us, first of all, at all, or about what we feel or what we experience. It's about our faith, our hope that God will and is accomplishing in us all that he wants according to his will. So we also hear this amazing statement that from Jesus to Mary, that what Mary possesses in heaven is so great that even heaven could not contain all of the riches and the beauty, the glory, the goodness of her seas of divine life. Why? Because Mary as a creature could not contain them. And even heaven, it says they were overflowing. They so crowded the celestial courts that they had to fill all of creation. Again, is that because of Mary? No, it's because of the will of God, which cannot be contained. And so just as that will of God fills all of heaven, it also wants to fill all creation, all of the earth. That's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what this way of life is to fulfill. It's to accomplish that will of God being done here on earth in your soul and mine. And more, as more and more souls come to know it and love it and to possess it, that it will finally come to fill all of creation and all of the earth. So that's why Jesus can say there's no place where Mary's seas of love and power do not flow, because there's no place where the divine will does not flow. And so with all of the acts of God, the lives of God that have been given to earth and released upon the earth, we have all of them united with the acts of Mary because the divine will possessed her, and she possessed it. She is the possessor and the queen. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for that gift for our world, not just for ourselves. Never do we pray only for ourselves, but this is what God wants for all the Father's children, and certainly what Mary desires, pleads, and begs for from God and from us, that might be accomplished on earth as well. So let us give thanks as we say, glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you under the mantle, under the protection, and in the heart, the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother. And may we even today enjoy with her the great wonder, the glory of our eternal home, where she lives now with God forever. May Almighty God bless you and keep you always, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And again, for archives of these broadcasts on the will of God, please go to divinewilltallahassee.com. And for questions, please send them to us at divinewillquestions@gmail.com. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. And continue now your life, your journey, in the will of God.